This episode is sponsored by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best heated clothing, powered by a rechargeable battery. Heat on demand at the touch of a button. It's perfect for anyone on your holiday gift list, and you can save 20% off your order when you go to actionheat.com/TMS. That's actionheat.com/TMS. Coming up on TMS, kids are funny.
How far did that hot dog go?
Dirty, dirty queen.
Drink nothing but soda, and you get the horns.
All praise Danny DeVito.
Major spoilers and Trick Nerd and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Help me, help me.
The Morning Stream.
Man, give me $50.
Well, hello. Why didn't that go down? Hey, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It's TMS for Monday, November 19th, 2018. Scott Johnson here with Brian Ibbett. Good morning.
Yes.
Hi.
Good morning. Happy short week. Happy Thanksgiving week in these American United States.
Oh, that's right. Today we celebrate the coming over of them there. What were they?
Pilgrims.
Pilgrims. Yeah. And they brought over... didn't we bring over the smallpox blankets or something? What'd we do?
They gave us Pintas, Ninas, and Santa Marias, whatever those are. I think they're tortilla snacks.
Oh, they're drinks. They're hot. They're
hot beverages.
Whiskey drinks. liquor drinks, as they would say. I don't know a lot about the holiday other than to say I'm going to eat a lot of good food and try to be good. I'm going to try to be not too crazy. Actually, how does that fit within your point system on Thanksgiving?
It is really a crapshoot. I mean, basically, it is. It's all about portion control.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my secret, or here's what I'm planning on doing.
All right,
is exercising a forced upon gating speed issue by putting my fork down between bites.
Oh, this is fine. This is a great idea.
Because usually you like take a bite and you know, while you're eating that bite, you're using your fork to kind of prepare the next bite and da da da. Nope, yeah. I'm gonna put the fork down on the plate, enjoy that bite, and then, you know, smaller portions. I mean, I know it's gonna be tough, and the toughest thing is gonna be, you know, wanting seconds, and everything's so good. That is the whole problem with Thanksgiving. It's not that.
Yeah, the food's great, no matter what.
The food's great, exactly. It's like, you put all this stuff in front of me, and just plates and bowls and carafes of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gravy ladles and.
No, this is all true, and you're probably going to do fine because what you described is an actual thing. It's called mindful eating, and
yes.
The idea is that you think about every bite. You chew with more deliberateness, and by the end of it all, the idea is because you focus so much on the act of it that you are less just unmindfully shoveling food in your mouth, right?
Exactly.
So you'll take your time, you'll put your fork down, you'll do all that stuff. This is good advice across the board. I don't care. Listen, if there are people out there who are just not even caring about their weight, you're skinny Pete's, all right, going into the holiday.
Right.
Still a good idea, just from a general health perspective, you know? So
totally, yeah. And I mean, just that keeping in mind that on the other side of all this, Saturday morning, after Coverathon, wake up Saturday morning, and I've got to go over to the WW studio.
Oh, yeah.
And stand on a scale and take my punishment like a man. So
yeah, some lady will be there all stern looking with a clipboard
exactly.
or something. Yep.
Exactly.
It's personal responsibility, everybody. So I made a decision this weekend. You've been inspiring so many, millions really. I decided to at least give it a shot and give I'm gonna go back to using my premium Lose It account.
Oh yeah, good.
Because between 2014 and 2016, that's how I lost that 50 pounds.
That's so, the whole secret is that accountability or that keeping track of what you're doing to yourself.
Yeah. So I am gonna, and I am happy to report I'm 12 down from where I was last weigh-in. So I don't know how I did that. I haven't been that good. I don't think. I think maybe I just cut back on soda and bread or something.
Mm-hmm.
So that does a lot of it. But the goal is come April, right around TMS Vegas time, Brian and I are going to be svelte mother effers, man.
Exactly. We're going to be happy to go up and hang out at the pool with Jerry and listen to him rant and scream and rave because we're going to be looking so good.
Was he just drunk He was drunk the whole time, right? Wasn't that the deal?
Oh, yeah. No, there was. There were people who were actually there to wake him up in the middle of the night to make sure that he continued to drink alcohol so that he wouldn't wake up sober.
Yeah, just like an intravenous, like...
It's 4 o'clock, time to do a shot of Fireball.
Yeah, come on, Jerry. I don't want to. No, it's okay. Come on. Get a full day ahead of us. Time
you
to get drunk.
Don't let Terpster win.
Never let Terpster win.
That's right. And you and I need to nail down, and people out there know, we need to nail down dates for this because I know people's requests for time off and stuff is coming up soon. Plus, if you and I want to do some of the things that we've been talking about, there's some things that we might want to try reserving as quickly as possible.
Yeah, we got to see if it's even possible to do the one thing we're thinking about.
Yeah.
We don't even know. But maybe right after this holiday or between this and Christmas, we can talk to those guys and see what they say.
Yeah.
Unless all of Vegas management just takes off for the month. I don't know how they do it.
No. I think next week, you and I next week, the week of the 26th, we need to nail it down.
Tommy Turmoil says, OMG, I want to party with Jury and Terpster so bad. Should have come to a Nerdtacular a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. Those two were always on fire. Although Terpster would drink less here than he does at like BlizzCon. He gets blitzed at BlizzCon, but here he's not that big a deal. I don't know why. I think maybe the altitude is a little rough on you if you drink a lot.
Maybe.
Up there? Yeah. Up at the
plus,
snowbird
deal. Plus all the drinking takes place in the airy, which then is, another several hundred feet higher than the rest of Snowbird.
So. Yeah, and it gets expensive. So he probably looked at those trips a little bit different. But, Jerry was still pounding it down. He could still put it away.
Yeah.
That guy, I'm sure his beard right now.
Smells like whiskey and pickled olives.
Yeah, smells like something Granny Clampett might have going on in the backyard, if you know what I mean. Anyway, I got to share this with you because I've been holding on to it and it made me laugh so hard yesterday. I just thought, well, I have to tell this on the show. So this 8-year-old kid, I do know his name, but I don't want to say his name on the show, but he's a neighbor kid. He cracks me up, super cool kid. And he yesterday told me a joke and it made me laugh. So I want to tell everyone this 8-year-old's joke and see if anyone gets a kick out of it or not. And it may be a joke that is 1,000 years old and I've just never heard it. I don't know.
Sure.
But just, he's preparing to be a dad, I guess, one day. Because it's a dad joke to be sure. But here's the joke. He comes up to me and he goes, "Hey, you want to hear a joke?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "Did you hear about that? The latest information, the latest update on that documentary all about constipation?" So Brian,
No, I haven't heard about that.
Well, it's not coming out. Get it? Because it's constipation.
This is from an 8-year-old.
This is from an 8-year-old. Yeah, and I thought I was gonna fall over because it's all about who tells it, right? If this was some other adult telling me this, I don't think I would laugh so hard. But because it was this 8-year-old kid, I was in stitches. I thought it was really funny. And now I'm going to tell that joke in other places. His other follow-up joke, by the way, was a little bit more routine. He says, he goes, "I know a knock-knock joke, too." And I said, "Oh, great. I love those." He goes, "Okay." He goes, "So, Brian, I'll do it to you." So I pretend I'm a kid. Right. I go, "Knock-knock.
Who's there?"
Hold on. Oh, Ipe.
Ipe. I poo.
See, it was I poo joke.
Are you sure that's not you? Something you came up with? It feels like something you would come up with.
It's absolutely not me, but he is admired by me. I'll say that. I got a real kick out of it. So
joke was this really long, detailed affair in which the punchline is, "And what do you call your act?"
Yeah.
"The Aristocrats."
There you go. Yeah, he's got new material every time I see him.
Right, exactly.
Tip your waiter. We'll be here till Thursday. Try the veal. Anyway, so that was great. Brian, you went to a memorial service?
I thought of that before I saw your thing, Gutter as a Tool. I'm going to try and do this without, being sad and bring the show down. But so
I have free hotel room muted on Twitter now, so I don't have to hear his reaction. Okay, so you're fine. Good. Go ahead. Yeah.
So went to a memorial service on Saturday for a friend that she and I lost. We talked about this a little bit on Facebook and in the Facebook Tadpole group and stuff. But basically, lost a friend of ours to alcoholism, and his connection to the Tadpole, or his connection at least to Coverville, was the Coverthon about 4 or 5 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. His name is Ralph. Ralph came and hung out with us and was actually behind me sitting on a chair in disbelief that I was doing this thing. He's like, Brian, you do this for 24 hours. You just sit here and you play music and you talk to people on the internet. And, anyway, really, really.
Oh, I remember this guy.
I think you remember him. Yeah,
I totally remember him. Am I confusing him, or is he the one that's, also was in the, you guys had him in the trivia team or something? Or he was involved in that way? Okay, wrong guy.
He was not at all involved with the tribute. All right. Alcoholism was his big demon. He fought and fought and kind of lost that battle. But anyway, so the memorial service was on Saturday, mm-hmm. and we met him through Crazy Neighbors. So Crazy Neighbors and some of their friends, and we went and sitting there in the pews, took place at a church. And the pastor is a guy named Ryan, and he's this guy probably on the weekend sprays his body with Axe and goes out clubbing completely shaved head except for a little strip on the middle, and then dressed nicely, but he had tattoos coming out of his sleeves that you could kind of see on his hands and stuff. Really, really nice guy, but definitely kind of Broheim looking.
Sure.
Pastor Bro. Sure. Anyway, so he's delivering the service and giving the eulogy and stuff for Ralph. And about four rows in front of us is a woman on her smartphone filming the whole thing.
Filming? Like video. Wait, filming a funeral?
Filming a funeral. Basically, like, she's got her phone out. For some reason, she's got her flash on, which you don't really need. It's very well lit in there. But,
wait, she's filming, like, making video, like, and the flash is permanently, like, on?
The flash is permanently on, and she's recording a video of the entire event. And to the point where, you know, after some of the family members go up and speak, the pastor gives the microphone, says, hey, anybody in the audience who wants to tell a story about Ralph, here's the microphone. And passes it around, a few people speak, and then the woman who's holding the phone takes it. She gives her camera to someone else to point their camera at her. So this is when I notice the flash is on.
Yeah, because it turns toward you.
Because it turns towards me. Mm-hmm. And so she's, you know, giving her, delivering her memory of Ralph, which I still don't know what her connection. I couldn't tell if she was a friend or... She was more talking about how sad things like this are as opposed to actually giving a memory of Ralph. But people grieve in different ways, you know, that's the way it goes.
Sure. Right.
And then she finishes talking, gives the phone back to her, and she videotapes the rest of the event. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, I mean, I guess if this is because there was somebody who really wanted to be here and couldn't make it and wanted to...
Right.
Even then... But I can't imagine ever saying, hey, what do you say we break out the old video and watch the Ralph's funeral video?
Yeah.
Get some wine and some
popcorn. I understand if it's like, you know, your kids are performing at a thing, or you got, you know, some of that stuff makes sense to me. Someone speaking for the first time at an event or whatever. I get it. Videotape that stuff. My biggest question, though, Brian, the burning one in my heart and mind is,
sure.
Vertical, horizontal? How was she filming?
She was filming vertical.
Oh my gosh.
If you film at a funeral, you don't have the wherewithal to know that the right way to film is horizontal.
Does she have no respect for the dead or the living?
That's right, exactly. That's well put. Yes, exactly.
Good Lord. That's terrible. You don't film horizontal. Listen, vertical anywhere I think is dumb unless it's a quick emergency. It's like, oh, I'm witnessing a cop beat a guy. Get it out there. Go. It doesn't matter. Vertical's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, this is the quickest way I've got. I can push the button with my thumb, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But I mean, if it's like, hey, I'm planning on recording my daughter's first dance recital. You know, you're planning this. You know you're going to charge that phone up, and you're going to make sure that you've got kind of an unobstructed view of the stage, and you're all planning this and preparing for it. You better have that phone sideways. Yeah. Because nobody wants to watch this small little video with these big black bars on either side when you finally prop it up onto your TV or send it via YouTube or whatever.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah. Seriously. We live in a society here. Get your crap together. Vertical That's video right. syndrome is a real problem. John Florida, 1968, just put a video that'll explain it to you. But yeah, I'm tired of them. Knock it off. We all have TVs that go this way, not this
That's
way.
That's right.
This
exactly.
way. And
exactly.
you know what? Also, when I get a phone and I get a video from somebody or a photo, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I want to see their wedding photos. And the mm-hmm. minute I see mm-hmm. it's vertical, I just think you're lazy and lame. Not into it. Don't care. Right. Don't care.
Right.
Anyway.
Totally true.
Well, I'm sorry about your friend. And,
anyway, yeah, it's a long story, and we kind of knew it was going to be happening because he had left rehab a few times, gone back in, left rehab, and was kind of out on his own, unmanaged, and yeah. wanted it that way. And it was kind of like, oh, this is, you know, he's basically.
Yeah. Usually when they do that,
wanting to go.
Yeah, when they don't want the, when they no longer want the help or refuse the help or whatever, that's usually a bad sign. But
yeah, but
well,
he's a great guy. We miss him, and anyway,
yeah.
Back to the show. Hey, let's cheer things up.
When I die, look, I'm gonna have a rule. I'm gonna have a sign out in front of my funeral when I die that says no filming. Mm-hmm. And then I'm gonna say below it in parentheses that includes vertical. You idiots.
Actually, you know what? It's funny because this actually prompted a discussion, and probably an important discussion between Tina and I about our funerals and what we want. And neither of us want what we went to on Saturday. Mm. The way I described it in Tina's like, yes, this is what I want. I want a big, you know, relatively large room. People can stand up, walk around, a bunch of cocktail-sized tables. So, you know, everybody's kind of standing up, has a place to put drinks or little snacks or that sort of thing. Kind of like the reception after one of these things. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, have a stage and a microphone. And if somebody wants to go up and tell a story, the thing will begin with somebody saying, hey, here's what we're all here for, blah, 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 blah. There'll be little videos of me drinking thick and liquid in the background and saying, oh my God, this is what eventually ended up killing him, was thick and liquid. Oh my God, if only we would have known now what we didn't know then.
Right.
Or something like that. But that's what I want. And an open bar. Yes, Amish Overlord. Absolutely an open bar.
Oh, you want alcohol there. Okay.
Right. Oh yeah, absolutely. And I want it to be a fun event. I want cosplay, like some Brian Ibbett cosplay at my funeral.
Yeah, you want some furries there? How you feel about that?
I'm fine with furries. Sure,
yeah, me too.
I got no problem with furries.
Me too. I think that's great. Have some furries there. Yeah. Bring in like half a Ren Faire, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Some guy dressed up as a Protoss zealot. why not? This is all good.
Laura, for real, I'm not dying. Well, I mean, we're all dying. Come on, let's face it. But I'm not dying. Nothing that I know about anyway.
No, I assume she's kidding. I would hope. Also, what was I going to say? Oh, here's my plans for my funeral. Mm-hmm. I actually don't really care too much because at the end of it all, I'm not there. So it's not like I'm going to get to enjoy it or.
Yeah, but the funeral's not for you, Scott.
Yeah, so I guess what I'm saying is let them have what they want to have. Because if I tell them what to do, let's say Kim's around still when I die, and that should almost 100% likely be the case, by the way. I want her to do whatever she's cool with. Like, they can do whatever. If they decide it's something super quiet and conservative, fine. If they decide they want to dress me up like, you know, a clown and throw darts at my corpse, that's fine too. Because I don't care. When I'm gone, I don't care.
There's something to that. You want it to really accurately represent the person and their wishes. So I'd say maybe not, you know, like do whatever they want to do. Like, well, we're going to have Brian passed away. So we're going to have an extremely quiet, somber event. I want to make sure that at least the front three rows are crying and, not a smile can be, you know, happen at this thing.
Well, don't get me wrong. I can't stand events like that. I hate funerals.
Yeah, I want
like
a party. I want people to have a good time. I want people to say, oh, Brian, celebrate his life, not mourn his death is the situation.
All right, and then I'll leave a note that says, celebrate, don't be boring, and then they can interpret
don't
that.
Don't be boring.
Don't be boring. And then they
per
can
Scott's wishes.
And then they can interpret that any way they want. They can do whatever they want to do. You want to eat sushi off of my naked corpse? Do it. If you want to, you know, all dress up in black and walk around and just listen to, I don't know, The Cure play over loudspeakers and no one's allowed to talk. Do that. I don't care. Do whatever you want, honestly, because I'm dead. I'm dead. You know, and once you're dead, you're dead. I can't do anything for you. That'll be the end of it. That'll be me gone. It'll be just thousands and thousands of hours of podcast content out there people will have to listen to if they want.
That's right. If they want, if they need some scat still.
Yeah. If you need a dose of me or Brian, you're going to have to do it posthumously with all our audio content we've created.
Jackalope says, if we eat sushi off your corpse, I'm definitely filming that.
Oh,
well, if you do, make sure it's in landscape.
Yeah, put it in landscape mode or else we're just going to delete your stupid file that's vertical.
Okay.
All right. Hey, you know what it is? It's a Monday, and I like Mondays. You like Mondays.
I love Mondays.
A lot of people hate Mondays, and I don't get it. Cause
screw the Boomtown Rats. Actually, right. I don't care for Mondays. It's tough to get up on a Monday. Sure.
I get that, and I understand why people don't like it. But we have a different reason to like it, because Dunaway comes on.
This is the reason.
Yeah.
Right. This is the reason right here that I like it.
Yeah, this right here, this show, this stuff we do on Mondays, this is why we enjoy it. And now I'm going to play this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program, Brian Dunaway for Babel Royale. Hello, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Hello.
Oh, hold on. Nice. Hold on 1 second. I got to turn my microphone vertically.
Do that. Well, yeah. I assume you're with us on this whole thing, right? You don't like the vertical.
Yeah. Oh, I don't. Look, this is how I feel about it.
Okay.
I don't care.
You don't care?
Because if you film anything on your iPhone and you send it to me, I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah.
Horizontal, vertical, wow. It doesn't matter.
Right.
It's not going to happen. I don't care about watching your kid's recital. I could care less.
Yeah.
Don't send it to me. I don't want it vertical, horizontal, or diagonal. I don't care.
You're not into it.
Also, can I just say as well? I think part of the problem is not the laziness of people, because of filming something with a phone is already lazy. How about the phone companies make the camera in the middle of the phone so it makes sense to hold it horizontal, because right now it's much easier to hold it vertically.
Oh, now and here, that's interesting.
That is a very good point.
And you should be able to do it dynamically, because as it stands right now, it is already dynamic depending on your orientation. So if you're holding it vertically, your camera responds and goes, oh, I'm vertical right now. Because, you know, sometimes you'll take a video and you thought you had it horizontal, but because you were tilted a little bit and the rotoscope thought you were saying sideways, it does it the other way.
Now, how soon before a phone company, a phone maker, figures out how to, like, do a display that's kind of like hovering, like, on a gantry, so that no matter how you turn, you can rotate your phone a full 360 degrees, and that camera will always stay horizontal.
Right. Or, hey, how about this? How about the camera film horizontal? Screw you people.
Mm.
Put a couple of cameras on there each side. Stitch it together. Do something.
Yeah.
This is not a user problem.
Yeah, it's not an insurmountable
problem.
I totally agree. The fact that I can't...
Gimbal, not gantry. Gimbal is what I was talking about, yes.
Is there a way to hold this up vertically and have it lock? And not have it...
It's more comfortable in my hand to film with it vertical.
To film vertical.
Right, but I'm saying, is there a way to lock the camera so it films horizontal, but I can hold it vertical?
No, not currently. You can lock it. You can set it so your screen doesn't rotate when you do that, but not your camera won't. I mean... I guess technically, well, that's a good question. If you lock it, if you do that screen lock while it's horizontal and then you put it vertical and start recording, will it stay horizontal? I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right.
There's no reason why it couldn't.
Your video will still look horizontal and you'll be holding it and it'll be harder to...
And there's zero reason for it not to work. Just lazy something. Somebody's being lazy. I don't know who it is.
Somebody's being lazy.
But I'll tell you.
Because I ain't watching your video.
No, but I'll tell you who's not lazy. On the phone with us right now is a listener who would like to participate in today's Babel Royale. Hi, who's this? Hello?
It's Marcel Marceau, everybody.
Hold on. Why can't they hear me? I bet they can hear me, and I just can't hear them.
Bet they can hear you. But they're yelling currently.
Hold on. Sounds for incoming messages. Oh, I'm doing this again, aren't I? It's happening again.
Well, we don't have the crackle noise, so
no,
there's that.
Yeah, but I thought Chrome fixed it, but maybe Chrome didn't fix it. Hold on a second. I apologize for this. If you're whoever's listening right now is probably yelling at me and I can't hear them at all. Let's see. Default. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm, speaker. Mm-hmm, default. Right. Line out. Built in. Mm-hmm. Hello. Can you hear us?
Dunaway, how's your weekend going?
Well, it went better than others, I suppose. I guess it could have been worse. I was listening to you talk, and I was like, man, this is like when he goes to the movies.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe you just don't like going to funerals. Maybe that's just a problem.
Yeah, that's what it is. Problem. All right, we're going to try.
I guess I can't ask you about the thing without us blocking Scott from being able to get a caller, can I?
807-SIG in the chat is our caller, but I can't get it to work, so I don't know what's going on. So 807-SIG, right. You get to choose the stuff today, even though you're just in the chat. And yes, we hung up on you. It's not working.
All right, so 807-SIG, I'm going to go ahead and describe the thing that we're doing here. And you, in the meantime, tell us who you want to go first and who you'd like to win. But here's the deal. I'm going to give Scott and Brian a topic. They're going to go back and forth with answers for that topic. If one of them gives a wrong answer, a repeated answer, or they take too long to come up with an answer, the winner is going to go to the other player. 807-SIG, your job is to predict who's going to come on top based on the topic. Today you're playing for a copy of Mass Effect 2, courtesy of William Hill.
Best Mass Effect game ever.
That is such a great game. Yeah, no kidding.
So good.
Big thanks to William Hill. And 80 Days and Cannibalt. Also, you'll get Steam codes for. So, you can play that on your phone, but you can also now play that in Steam on a big screen, which is kind of fun.
Cannibalt is excellent on Steam. I have it there. It's great.
Cool. Very cool. All right. Your quiz today comes to us from A. Carl Cornell. A. Carl, not the Carl Cornell.
Oh, just A.
A. Carl Cornell. It's like A. Whitney Brown or F. Scott Fitzgerald. We talked a little bit about airports last week when jury slammed DIA for being a piece of crap to get through. And I can understand that. Scott, you even have your own story about DIA being a piece of crap to get through. Well, we want to know the busiest airports in the United States based on their 2017 number of passengers who went through them. Busiest airports in the U.S. is really, I guess, what it comes down to.
Like, okay, so you're the busy, how many? The top 10? What we got?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I've got the top 30 in front of me, which I'm not going to do that. We're going to say the top 10.
Yeah.
I like the top 10.
30
is too
many. I
like the top 10 because even it's not going to take that long anyway.
And even if we get it right, he wins anyway, so it's good. And if we lose, if he loses, then it's normal and we're not still going at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So this is perfect.
Exactly. So knowing that that's the topic, 807-SIG, who do you think is going to win this and who would you like to go first?
Let's see. We'll get an answer from him shortly because we deal with the lag inherent in the system.
Right.
All right. Well, while we're waiting for that, real quick, Dunaway. We're doing a Boop Show today. Yeah, you're good for that.
Is that what we're doing today?
Yeah, we got to. Oh, Scott and Scott. He says.
Scott
by the way,
and Scott. So Scott to win and Scott to start.
All right. So sweet.
Got to win.
I'll begin and say LAX.
LAX number 2 on the list, absolutely, with 41 million passengers passing through in 2017.
Also my least favorite place to be in the world, but anyway.
It is my least favorite airport to, if you've got a connection, even if you don't, like just the crap you've got to go through for parking and getting a rental car when you get there, it's a pain in the butt.
Yeah. It's no good. All right, Dunaway, what do you got?
I'm going to Atlanta, Hartsfield Jackson.
Oh, that's a good one.
Number 1. Yes. 50.2 million.
If you've ever been, you'd believe it.
That surprises me. I mean, I've been, but it was busy, but I didn't know that was it. I mean, I wouldn't have said that was number 1 because I just wouldn't have known. But all right, that'll work. All right. JFK.
JFK in New York. 29.5 million people go through that every year, and that makes it number 6 on our list. So very good, Scott.
All right.
Very good. Over to Brian for this one.
I've been to Dallas. Dallas, Fort Worth. That airport's pretty big.
It is. It's very big. Big enough to make it number 4. DFW, 31.8 million people.
Also the scariest ride ever had. But yeah.
Oh, really? Like landing taking off?
Yeah, taking off.
Really?
Yeah, taking off. It was one of those cases where it's like, hey, we're going to put you in an extra big plane. And by the way, you see all those little planes going canceled, 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 canceled. Everybody's canceled except for your plane. Good luck.
Yeah, I don't like that airport much either in terms of like quality of life experience there. However, I did flood a toilet there once, but my flight had to leave and I couldn't tell anybody, so I just left it. So I was in the bathroom there, and then I wasn't even doing anything. I think I blew my nose through the hanky thing into the, or the Kleenex into the deal, the toilet. It did its little auto flush and then went to the top and then started gushing out the sides, and I just went, I'm out. Where are you going, babe? Gross. Sorry, my wife's in here cleaning all my crap up. One of these is newer. This is newer. Thanks. Sorry.
Don't take the newer one.
Take the newer. Ones. Yeah, leave the newer water. That fork, thanks.
Jeez.
She's so efficient. Anyway.
I hope you leave her a tip.
Yeah. Kim, that'll be at her funeral. We're talking about funerals today, babe. At her funeral, it'll be, she was very efficient. We'll say that. Anyway.
Right. I fall on the side of Scott with that, by the way. I really don't care. I'm not going to be there. You do what makes you happy. However, I will back away from the edge that Scott has given, which is eating food off my body. I am very much, at least show reverence for my body. I don't care what you do with it. Just show a little reverence. Well,
but you're out of it now. You don't have, it's not yours. You're done. You're dead.
But it's your last chance to what to do.
I'm not talking about my body or whether I will care or whether it will affect me hereafter. I am worried about my image, because in addition to a living, you also create a lasting memory and image of yourself. And that would be destructive to that.
Look, the last thing, my last gasp on my deathbed will be the thing where my final thing where I get to tell people what to do. And it will be, bring me more Jell-O, or my bed's uncomfortable, or change my bedpan, or whatever it is. And when I
my
get to
pants are squishy.
Once I'm
dead, I guess
that's
the difference. Maybe Scott sees himself dying as a very old man. I see myself dying next week.
Once I'm dead, all I care about is I hope they all have a good time. That's it. That's it. Mm-hmm. And whatever that is, that's on them, man. They got.
And that's what I want to enforce. That's why I want I want to force them to have a good time. I don't want to. Right. I don't want to just like leave it up to somebody to maybe ensure they have a good time. No. I want to. I want them to have a good time at gunpoint.
Yeah. Nothing works better, we've learned in history, than forcing people to have a good time. I think it works really well. It's a good basis for societal happiness.
That's right. Exactly. What could possibly go wrong?
What? Where were we? Oh, it's my. No, I said.
It's your turn.
Oh, it's my turn. I just talked about the toilet. At Dallas. Okay. I'm going to put Denver in there. It's got to be in there.
Denver. It's number five. Yeah, 29.8 million people went through in 2017.
Yeah, sounds about right.
I don't fly a lot, so I don't have a lot of frame of reference. I've pretty much named the only two. I've only been to like three, maybe four more airports in my life. No, one of them's way too small. I know another one. Being so close to Atlanta, I feel like Charlotte's maybe a little bit too small for that.
It's just U.S. It's U.S. stuff,
and
then
I've been
right?
To the,
no,
just U.S. Okay. Yes.
Right. And I've been to the Phoenix airport, but I remember it not being as busy, but I could be totally wrong. And for some reason, even though it was a smaller airport, I just flagged a lot of traffic through it. And I'm going to go with Boston Logan Airport, and I just don't.
It feels safe.
Boston Logan. Now, let me tell you something.
Yes.
If you were to have said Phoenix.
Right.
Because you're saying Phoenix, right? It was
right,
your,
right. That was one of the other ones.
And Charlotte was another one you were thinking?
Mm-hmm. Right. Charlotte.
Yeah, Charlotte was number 10. Mm. Boston Logan is number 16.
16? How is Logan International 16? That's crazy.
Only 19 million. Because there's so many airports in that New England area.
That's a good point.
Unless you're going somewhere specific, unless you're going specifically to Boston, it's just as easy to fly to one of those other, Portland or
right.
I was my next one was going to be Chicago. Was I going to be okay with Chicago?
Well, I would have asked you to be more specific.
O'Hare, I would have said.
O'Hare is number three. Yeah, okay. So O'Hare, you would have been just fine with O'Hare. Rounding out the top 10, so O'Hare is number 3, San Francisco, number 7, McCarran in Las Vegas, number 8.
Oh, wow.
Seattle, Tacoma, number 9, and Charlotte Douglas International Airport in Charlotte, North Carolina, Charlotte. Number 10.
Okay, I got a quick question. We're investing a ton of taxpayer money and otherwise in a complete restructuring, reboot, and new buildings and all this stuff for our airport. Where is SLC International on there? Are we
number
even,
23 on
23,
the list.
Okay, that's not too bad.
23, nope.
That's how, I guess the reason I'm asking is there was like actual tangible increases in people's like property taxes and crap. and for this new airport. And I just wanted to make sure it was worth it. Is it busy enough for that? I don't know. Apparently it is.
Apparently it is, yeah.
Thanks, good local government.
Salt Lake City Airport's fine. It's just fine.
No, it is fine. It's fine airport. Here soon, though, when this new one's done, it's supposed to be, you know, state-of-the-art, awesome, beautiful, high ceiling, awesome, beautiful. The problem is you'll never be able to walk where Jim Carrey was again when he filmed Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Dumb and Dumber.
One thing I will say about Charlotte that I do like about it is the rocking chairs, like a whole wall of rocking chairs in the food court. And a nice and a decent food court, too.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, I've only been through Charlotte one time. I usually end up going out to Atlanta.
I'll tell you
which would make sense.
The airport that blew my mind the most and will always be the most monolithic thing I think I may have ever seen was Hong Kong International. I've never seen an airport like that I've never seen a structure like that. It was crazy.
As far as efficiency or just a big block?
Sheer size. Like just this monstrous dome. It's built on a landfill out in the ocean. Like, it's not even a part of the island, technically. It was built up and then built there. And it was just so freaking big. Like, everything seems small now compared to that. There was nothing like that thing. It was crazy. And really clean and really nice. Nice airport. But it felt like I was in space. I was on another planet.
Like you were in the future.
Space?
Yeah, I was like, in that, you know, that place where they all get, like in Men in Black, they show up and Rip Torn's there with all the stuff going on, and Will Smith's like, whoa, I've never seen this before. It's kind of like that feeling. Not that the people look like aliens or anything. I look like the alien. I was 6'3 walking around with a bunch of very short people, and it was weird. Anyway, Brian, we haven't had Daryl on for this for a long time. I don't know why I did that. Blame the Dayquil I'm taking. Daryl, you've done it. Thanks. Brian, dang it. Brian, you've done it.
Thanks for that.
Today at 3:30, you and I will be partaking in the Boop Show, which I very much look forward to because we missed it last week because that was the beginning of this hideous illness, and I'm now on the tail end of it and can produce shows at a reasonable rate. So you and I will be talking today, and I have got stuff to say. Oh, boy. Things I found this week. It's almost good that we missed a week because I got stuff. So
I'm still playing the same games from last week.
Fantastic. That's today, 3:30 Mountain Time, frogpants.tv. And by the way, I didn't mention this before, but dude, what won in the chat room? You just got
807 Sig. Congratulations! Yeah. I sent him a message in. Chat.
Oh, you got him all hooked up. Email. All right, sweet. I got to play this for him.
Congratulations! You're a winner.
And now, before we go, here's Dunaway yelling a thing.
Help me! Help me!
All right, and now I'm hanging up on him. Bye. All right, he's gone now. That's the end of Dunaway, and that represents.
Now we can talk about him.
Yeah. And it represents the beginning of the news.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive sensational summary of world and local events.
Hey, look, it's the morning news brought to you by.
This segment is brought to you by a friend of the show who wishes everyone a very happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's very nice.
And wishes to remain nameless.
Yeah, I know this person, but they didn't want to have their name used, so it was very nice of them. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's such a controversial topic.
Yeah, I know.
Wishing people a happy Thanksgiving, so I can see why maybe they'd want to stand to the radar on that.
Oh, and today's very testy atmosphere. It's really hard to wish someone a happy Thanksgiving and do it out in
that's
the
right.
open.
Whew. Yes.
We're kidding, of course. Hey, check this out. How far do roller grilled hot dogs travel? So we think of them, they're stationary, right? Because they're just sitting there between the rolls going. But on average, like one at a 7-Eleven, how many miles does one of those travel in its lifetime?
What? So I have a question. Yeah. Don't they roll? Do they roll back and forth, or do they constantly roll in one direction?
The ones in and part of this study that I pulled this article from, and the ones that they studied from, which were like a 7-Eleven and a couple other examples, are based on the most common cooker, which is a constant roll to one direction or the other and never reverses.
Okay, so all right. Because I was going to say, you know, would you subtract the time that they roll backwards? Which basically means they've been stationary the whole life.
Right, good point. But they don't actually they wouldn't need that because there'd be no value in going the other direction because it's the same as going.
That's true. That would be a kind of an unnecessary thing to add to your hot dog roller motor is the toggle back and forth because you're creating a motor now that has to stop and go in reverse and then stop and go forward and that's a lot of extra stuff.
With no benefit. Yeah, it has no benefit. It doesn't change the way it's cooked or anything because it's a cylinder. Now if it was like a burrito shape or a kind of a flatter envelope thing. Yeah, it makes sense. Flip it. But since it's turning.
For whatever reason, I'm thinking, I thought there were ones that went, they moved forward and then they moved backward. Like the rollers didn't just stay in one place and spin around in a circle, but they went, like the rollers move forward and the hot dogs, well, they'd have to go with them, but they would rotate them and then they move them back.
That's, now that you're saying this, though, there's something.
I know. Don't you remember something like that where the rollers would go like they were going back and forth above a heating element?
Almost like a tank tread, right?
Right.
Like it would roll underneath.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. What was that? How were they? What were they
doing? Okay. So I'm not just imagining. That's not a Mandela effect.
No, I remember it too, but I just don't remember what it was. Maybe it was a different kind of food thing, or maybe they were attached differently or something. No, I don't remember. Mm-hmm. Gosh dang it. Well, anyway. Somebody got real hardcore into this and they wanted to find out exactly how long or how far one of these hot dogs would travel on average. Okay. And they had to look at three very key pieces of data. Circumference of the average hot dog, the speed of that hot dog roller, okay, because the roller may vary, and the maximum length of time a hot dog could spend spinning on it before it was discarded. Now, that is the total.
Yeah.
That's your whole data set, right?
Sure.
First data point is girth. Girth matters. You guys have your heads in the gutter.
Whole bunch of ladies in the audience go out.
It says he did this. He purchased three regular sized bite hot dogs, a bag of gummy worms, and a child's ruler. Then he debunned each hot dog, wrapped a gummy worm around once around the middle of each hot dog, marked the spot where the worm intersected itself, bit down, and measured. Like, this is about the...
Wow. This is... okay, so we're talking some science going on here with the gummy worm measurement tool.
Yeah.
Okay.
The methods may not be 100%.
All of a sudden, the whole study comes into question, but okay. Biting down instead of, like, you know, tape measure...
Well, you know, if in his mind, and maybe he's right, but if the results... Like, if you can quantify your results, maybe it doesn't matter. Because if you're marking it, you marked it with his tooth instead of a pen?
Yeah. Yeah, all right. That's fine. My question, and I've got to think about this for a second, but does girth matter in this case? Because regardless of how big the hot dog is, wouldn't it travel the same distance if the roller underneath it is going the same speed?
Oh.
So it's still moving along the same amount of surface area per second on that metal roller where it's cooking, regardless of how little of it is, how far it's going on the hot dog itself.
Right. The rollers aren't changing. You're right. They're constant. And so because the rollers are constant, aren't we actually asking how long a roller traveled during the time the dog was there?
Yes. Yes, exactly. I don't think the size of the girth of the hot dog matters in this case.
Let me think about this for a second. Because if you went, let's say you went like a 10-inch diameter hot dog. That's ridiculous, but just for comparison. Let's say you had that on there. Would that be any different? It wouldn't be. Would it? Because the speed of the rollers, the size of the rollers, and the distance between rollers is the same.
The roller itself is simulating ground travel.
Right.
Like, you know, that hot dog rolling on a roller versus just rolling on a flat surface would be going the same distance.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that's right. I think this is all busted because of that. I mean, his data may not still be significant, but I think it's marred by this point about making girth matter.
Right.
Actually, we have just solved the great grand old question: does size matter? Turns out it doesn't.
turns out it doesn't. What's amazing though, I mean, is the discussion going on in the chat room, like. Ikor says, nope, Brian is right. But other people are saying, no, the girth matters. You're measuring the circumference of the dog, not the roller. There's a gearing ratio at play. I don't think so, because if you're just measuring how far that hot dog would have traveled, all you're doing is just saying, well, that roller is the surface area that hot dog would travel on.
Yeah, and you're not saying how long does it take to get from, let's say you made a point on the fat on the fat hot dog. You're not saying how long did it take for
how
the point to come around.
All the way around. Yes.
You're not saying that. You're saying how far did that thing go if this was moving on a plane and not in place. Like if those rollers were off their hinges and rolling on the ground in a perfect scenario, how far would they roll, not
Right.
Yeah, I complain. This is 100% true. Because in that scenario, let's say it was unhinged and you have the two rollers and they're out there in the desert and they're just rolling forever and on it is a hot dog of any size.
Right.
You're depending on the rollers entirely. That's it. You'll get more RPMs on a smaller hot dog, mm-hmm. right? More rotations per minute than you will on the fatter hot dog, but the distance is the same. You're not going to get any better speed.
Exactly.
Yeah. Brian, we're scientists. Look at us. I have a question though. Can you go to that link and then scroll down a little bit to the
sure.
Just to the it's kind of weird. There's a keyboard and like a post-it note where he's got some of his data. Can you tell me what's wrong with the C button there on this keyboard? Can you see that?
Not yet. I haven't gotten to it yet. Let's see. Is it below the? I see a picture of the Big Bite hot dog and the gummy worm.
Yeah, you got to go down further. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Wait.
Oh. Oh yeah.
What is that?
Man, that's a Mac keyboard too. That C has been used so much. It's been broken through. That is the inside of that key, because I've taken keys off to clean my keyboard before. That is the.
It's like something dropped on it or jammed it or did
yeah,
something.
Yeah, maybe that's it. It cracked or broke. Yeah, I don't know. That's crazy.
I don't like that. That C key does not look good. All right. So here's his hypothetical hot dog journey thing. All right.
Yeah. Sure.
Here's his results. Hot dog circumference times roller speed times MRT. What's MRT? Hold on. He wrote that up earlier.
Meat resistance tenacity.
Tenacity. Nailed it. Where's MRT?
Meat travel? Meat round trip?
Round trip. Meat. Nah. He doesn't say. I can't find it. Whatever that is. Oh, maximum roller time.
Maximum roller time. Okay. All right. MRT.
So he says if you do the hot dog circumference times roller speed times MRT, you get the distance traveled. So they put in the data. He says it's 0.074 miles total. He did it all in centimeters and minutes. And then came up with the miles, which is interesting. But anyway.
Yeah, people in the chat rooms, I mean, I said it perfectly. You'd measure the circumference of the roller, not the circumference of the hot dog.
Yeah, if the hot dogs were rolling,
mm-hmm.
okay, you know what? That's what he's done. He's basically said, whatever the rate of the speed of the turner thing is, the roller speed,
then
you take the rollers out of it and just pretend a hot dog can roll at that speed.
Exactly. There you go.
Then right. Circumference matters.
Yep.
Then it matters. Sure. Okay, I get that.
And then the problem is you can't wrap a gummy bear around one of those rollers, especially when it's hot and constantly moving.
See, but this is why, and this is fun stuff because it makes your brain work, but this is why I actually kind of disagree with this study, because the entire premise is how long did that thing, what distance did that thing roll on those rollers? It's the mm-hmm. rollers that went the distance, not the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
well, the dog did go. I mean, yes, right.
Right. I mean, right. you're really asking how far would the rollers get in the original question? Now he's decided to say, well, no, what I want to know is how long, because it's a much more interesting question to say, how long did the hot dog roll?
Well, of course, because you've got a finite time that the hot dog was on those rollers too. So
this is some science-y stuff, man. Listen to us with our physics knowledge and our whatnot.
Interesting. So a Big Bite. A Big Bite went 7.53 rotations per minute.
Right. Let's see. A typical roller grill dog spins at 0.02 miles per hour. If it hopped off the treadmill and got a little more ambitious, let's see. Oh, my gosh. Okay, this is great. This infographic he has on here. Hold on. Let me try to zoom in on it.
Oh, did I not go far enough down?
Yeah, it's way down there. Okay, chat, I'll show it to you as well. How far would the dog travel have been rolling for 7 days until it technically expired? 3.7 miles. If it did a marathon, it would take 49 days and 5 hours. That'd be 26.2 miles. The time it takes a human baby to learn how to walk, that's 1 year. 194 miles this hot dog would have made it.
Yeah.
I mean, they have... The dumbest. This is the funnest part of this, though, is all this stuff. Like here,
we go. It is absolutely. I mean, basically, once you have that first measurement, you're really just saying, "Oh, how long is the world's longest horse race, or mm-hmm. How long since the invention of cooking?"
Yeah, basically. How about this one? Mm-hmm. Since May 14th, 1998, the last episode of Seinfeld, it would have traveled 3,737 miles since then. Which really isn't that much if you think about it. It's like across the country. it would have made.
Well,
it.
let me bring up, I think, a more controversial subject regarding hot dogs, because this is something that came up. You know, the local news, it's in between telling you the weather and the traffic and what's going on in Washington. They've got to have this little slice of life stuff. There was a controversy on Facebook, controversy with air quotes. Again, I'm using the air quotes, about hot dogs and toppings.
Mm.
And I'm not going to get into the whole, like, do you just put mustard like you're supposed to do, or do you put all this other garbage like you're not supposed to? But do you put the condiments on the bun before the hot dog? Because the hot dog and the bun creates that V shape. The hot dog stops about, you know,
yeah,
2/3 of the way down that V, and you've got all that space underneath it.
Yeah.
Why not have the condiments and everything underneath the hot dog where they're not going to slide off the top?
I don't have a good I don't have a good answer to that, but it feels wrong to put it down
it
there.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Tradition? Is that really, is that really just what it is?
It's maybe, tradition? But also like a good Chicago dog where you're like jamming wedges of pickle on the side and tomatoes on the side and all that. That's a good thing, man.
Sport peppers and stuff. It's good. And you can still have that.
Yeah.
Still have that, but you have it underneath the dog where the dog actually acts as like a force field protection for that, for all those condiments. Keeps them from sliding off the top.
Oh, this all sounds really good. I want a hot dog now. I'd even take a gas station hot dog right now. I would. I'd take one. I'm not opposed to those. I'll have those sometimes.
I feel like commercials must really work well on you. Like, totally, like you see a commercial for something, it's like, oh, that sounds so good. I want that.
Yeah, no. Look, dude, for real, advertising, I am a skeptic as anybody else these days. You get in to tell me how great your stain remover is or your freaking whatever dumb thing it is.
Yeah.
I don't buy any of that stuff. But when food's on there, and I even know in my head, oh, they're not even using whipped cream. That's like some kind of industrial cream to make it look better.
Hell yeah, exactly.
Or that McDonald's fry, or that McDonald's burger in this commercial, is no way it looks like that in real life. It doesn't matter. I just fall head over heels and like crave the thing, and we'll probably go get it that day. So clearly that stuff works on some people, and I'm one of them.
A lot of people, the big issue that people bring up with that, doing the condiments on the bun before you do the hot dog, is soggy buns, right?
Yeah.
Like you get, it weakens the structural integrity of the bun. Listen, it never lasts that long. Like,
no.
the condiments wouldn't, with me, the condiments would not have a chance to make it through the bun. And I think that might be part of my problem. I think that's going to be, that's why I'm putting the fork down between bites on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. See, look at Brian. This all comes back to you being a better human being. Well done.
That's right.
All right. We're going to take a break and come back with major spoilers. Actually, we're not having Trek Nerd today because he has no news. So there's no Trek Nerd. But we will have Steven coming right up right after this song, prepared for, by, and with, and for Brian Ibbett.
That's right. Now, you all know me, and you know that I'm not a big fan of current new pop country music. I'm not a big, Garth Brooks or Luke Bryan or Big and Tall. No, what are they called? Fat and Rich? Big and Rich?
Big and
something like that.
Whatever it is. Yeah. You don't mean, when you say new, you don't mean like current. You mean
no,
like,
but you give me some old Hank Williams, some Willie Nelson, some old Kenny Rogers, Dolly Parton.
Totally,
I'll listen
you
to that all day long.
Yep. And then if it's anything else that's modern that's good, it all ends up being bluegrass or some other kind of
subgenre. Oh, well said, Scott. Because then you start blending into bluegrass and then another genre called Americana, some kind of homegrown, like Americana style country music that I kind of like, and you throw some blues in there and you've totally hooked me.
Yep.
That's where our current band or today's Indian Middle sits for me. Two listens through this and I'm like, you know what? I really, really like this. And some people might say, well, that's country, Brian. I think it's Americana. I think it's something a little bit different. This is a band called the Kenny Meller Band. They are from Hartford, Connecticut, so, they're not even from the South, so there you go.
Mm.
They released their debut album Now and Then back in 2012, and then they released their album Cornbread and Whiskey in 2016. They've remastered it, probably added to it, and are re-releasing it, or just re-released it, back on October 28th, and that's where this is coming from. The song is called Moses Brown. It is the Kenny Meller Band. Come to you right now.
Okay, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Mississippi, sing it with me. How do you like me now? Hallelujah, what's it to ya? He used to say with a smile now.
is a place where I wanna go now. There's a town where Moses Brown got down. He picked the pieces up, staggered around. Worked nights in the kitchen, thinking there was some place he'd rather be. He saved enough to get back on his feet. If you listen, you could hear him speak, darling. He said, Mississippi, say it with me. How do you like me now? Well, hallelujah, was it to you? He used to say with a smile now. Mississippi, say it with me. How do you like me now? Well, hallelujah, was it to you? We're getting down with the sound from Moses Brown. As he liked his wife on the banks of the Mississippi River was where he spent his time. You know he did, yeah. I can remember the day he lost his mind in a couple of ways. A bottle of booze and a banjo, and now the old man's doing fine. You know he said, Mississippi, say it with me. How do you like me now? Well, hallelujah, was it to you? I used to say it with a smile now. Mississippi, say it with me. How do you like me now? Well, hallelujah, was it to you? We're getting down with the sound from Moses Brown. How do you like me now? Had more than a little now, come on. In a while, nothing but his skin, you know, at least that's how the story goes. They said, if you listen by the bridge at the end of the town, you can still hear the sounds of Moses Brown. They're gonna back it down, they're gonna back it down, they're gonna back it down from the underground. You know, he said, Mississippi, say it with me. How do you like me now? Hallelujah, was it to you? You say it with a smile now. Mississippi, say it with me. How do you like me now? Well, hallelujah, was it to you? Was it to you now? Come on. Mississippi, say it with me. How do you like me now? Well, hallelujah, was it to you? You say it with a smile now. Mississippi, say it with me. How do you like me now? Well, hallelujah, was it to you?
Entire episode of the show excuse me is brought to you by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery heated clothing. I've got some awesome socks that I'm wearing right this second, and oh man, does it feel good, especially when I have this cold. It's fantastic. Heat on demand with a touch of a button. Control your environment with Action Heat. Clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat through these little panels, and it's like a car, you know, a hot, heated car seat. It's like that. It can reach temperatures of up to 135 degrees and are powered by rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion batteries that last up to 12 hours on each charge. And they can also be used to recharge your phone or any other gadget while you're wearing them. That's kind of cool, right? My phone's almost dead. My feet are warm. I needed to charge my phone and keep my feet warm. Perfect for any friend or family for your holiday gift list. Great for anyone who works outdoors, skiers, snowboarders, anybody who likes the outdoors but doesn't necessarily love the cold. That clothing provides toasty warmth and comfort for your whole body, including heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments like heated base layer t-shirts and long johns. A pair of long johns sounds good right now. Anyway, you can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with Action Heat. And Action Heat is available in men's and women's clothing, and they have great new styles and models just released for this winter season. Make winter activities more enjoyable with a blast of warmth. Action Heat is the perfect solution to keep you toasty and warm, even in the most frigid winter weather. Heated products that fit everyone's budget, starting at just $39.99. I love them. Everything I've got from Action Heat keeps me warm and toasty. These socks are killing it right now. We got a special deal for our listeners to save 20% off your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/TMS to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. That's actionheat.com/TMS or use the coupon code TMS to check out and save 20%. So you can actually go to that URL or use the TMS code. That's how it works. 20% off either way. We'll make it easy for you. Stay toasty warm while you enjoy all your other or outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. And we thank them for sponsoring today's episode of TMS.
The Maasai have been using urine as an insect repellent for centuries.
Maybe he is a leprechaun. He's dancing a jig.
The Morning Stream. My bumhole hurts.
Gosh dang it, I muted myself. Hey, we're back, everybody. You got to do that when you got to cough all the time. So then I didn't mute it then when I just coughed.
Just,
great.
Just cough switch. There you go. Exactly.
It's good stuff. It's a toggle now, so I forget to toggle it off and on. And the other day, I toggled it off. Right. And then when I had to cough, I untoggled it and coughed on the microphone and then toggled it again.
You coughed right in the microphone, yes.
Lame. Anyway. Yeah. We're back.
I heard a little Black Crows in there that time listening to that.
Oh, like, yeah, sure. You
know, probably little, more vocalist than anything else.
Kind of a ska beat, too, a little bit.
Kind of, yeah.
Just a little. Nothing crazy, but enough to sort of notice. Mm-hmm. Anyway, who was it? The ninja in the chat room's like, I'm out. Oh, no, yeah. Jedi. He's not his thing at all, I guess.
Oh, Jedi 71, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, all right, well, whatever, you know. I mean, heck, if I'm like the most diehard... critic of New Country there is. So if I can appreciate it, if I can find something to like in there, then God, I feel like a lot of people should be able to.
I do feel like it was it's probably on the soundtrack for that show that my wife watches, that Heart of Dixie show. It's totally that.
Maybe, yes. Yeah,
she loves that freaking thing. Yep. Come at me if you think that show's good. I think it's horrendous. And I've told her as much. She knows how I feel about it. I think Heart of Dixie is bad. But anyway.
Yeah. Did you watch any of that Lester Scruggs or what was it called?
No, we saved it for tonight because of Nick's work schedule. We wanted to make sure everybody could be here together. So tonight, Kim, Carter, and Nick are all watching it. The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Buster Scruggs, that's it.
Coen Brothers, magic at work. I'm hearing it's top shelf stuff from them. And
Tim Blake Nelson.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
He's
love
great. That guy. Liam Neeson's in there for some reason. A bunch of actors.
Sirens turned you into a toad.
I love when he in the trailer for this thing, somebody asks, "Do those side irons work?" And he like flips one behind him and kills a guy. And he goes, "Oh, sure. Looks to do, yes," or something like that. He's just the perfect guy to cast for whatever the hell's going on there.
He really is.
I'm so excited. I hear it's just like an orgy of like Western tropes, and I love those sort of things. So I'm in. Like Flynn.
Orgies?
Yeah, I like orgies. all right. Let's get Steven in here later than usual.
Sure.
Never too late. Never a dollar short.
Oh, never.
I have to run.
Never!
Hold on a second. Gosh dang it.
Gosh.
Skype.
Gurmit.
There it is. Skype says, cannot be used for emergency calls. All right. I won't ever use you for that then. You jerks. Okay, here we go. Wait. Why didn't that work? There we go. All right, now we're calling him. All right, here we go, everybody. Settle in.
Steven
Schleicher, Johannesburg, Philip Jr. Esquire on the phone all the way from Hayes, Kansas, and the proprietor of all things Major Spoilers. Steven, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Scott. Hello, Brian.
Hello.
Oh, it's so good to have you here.
So I did watch The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Oh, what'd you think?
And it is an awesome movie, so much so that I wanted to watch it again the next day, but I had so many other shows to catch up on. Yeah. It's worth watching multiple times, but I will say this. It's an anthology series, so if you're thinking that there's going to be one character that follows through the whole story, there's not. Second thing is, this is a Coen Brothers movie, And not everything is funny as the trailer makes it out.
Oh yeah,
to be.
No,
in fact,
plenty.
Be prepared
of,
for some over the top violence.
Yeah, some very grim moments. I hear. I mean, this is everything I love about the Coen Brothers, all mixed up. Like just quirky characters, yeah. Strange business. I love them doing an anthology type thing. Originally, this was going to be an actual series, like multiple episodes.
No, they have discounted.
Oh,
that.
They said it never was.
Yeah, they said no. A lot of people just thought because of the anthology nature of it that it was going to be a TV show, but it never was supposed to be.
Well, guess what? I'm in the group of a lot of people thought because I thought that as well. Well, one way or the other, I'm hearing it's amazing, and I can't.
It is really, really good. Just be prepared that some of the stories are shorter than you want them to be, and some of them last maybe a little bit longer than they should, but they're all really, really good. And just when you think you have the story figured out, they may pull a twist on you. And the last story in the movie is just brilliant from top to bottom.
How many stories are there?
I want to say there's five of them, five or six.
Okay.
And I keep forgetting there's a great one that about this old prospector who's mining for gold. I keep forgetting that one, and it's really good. So
all right. Yeah. I'm in, and Liam Neeson is in it. Is that true?
Yes, he is. And okay. That is one that is, again, they're all so good. I don't want to spoil anything for you, but the Liam Neeson one has hardly any words spoken in that, except for one bit that is just a recurring bit throughout the entire piece.
Does he say, "I have a very special set of skills"? Is that when he talks?
No.
Oh, okay. That'd be cool if he did.
And I forgot about that one until you brought it up.
Yeah. Well, no worries.
It's really good. I think you'll enjoy the heck out of it.
We're having a special viewing tonight, and we're super stoked. So I'll report my findings tomorrow on TMS Tuesday. All right. It's a light week. You know, it's the holidays. We're rolling into Thanksgiving and stuff, but there's some stuff coming up. For example, Hellboy Day is coming. How will you celebrate Hellboy Day from Dark Horse Comics?
I don't know. Probably by saying, hey, it's March 23rd or whatever day it is.
Sure. I mean,
that's how I'm going to celebrate. It's March 23rd. It's a Saturday.
Are they serious about this? Like,
I mean, it is kind of a big deal. I mean, people are getting really excited this past weekend. Mickey Mouse turned 90. We've had Superman and Batman both celebrate big days. Was it last week, 2 weeks ago, Hawkman celebrated his 80th birthday. Why not celebrate 25 years of Hellboy? And when you think about it, 25 years, maybe a long time for some people.
No, I mean, it no longer seems like the giant amount of time it used to us, I think. But
I know, right?
But, you know, a kid was born and is now 25. That's a good way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I didn't know Mickey Mouse turned 90. That's old. But it's also not as old as I would have thought. I would have thought Mickey Mouse has been around longer than 90.
Yeah.
Like a dude who was born the day Mickey Mouse made his debut, or however they clock that.
Steamboat Willie's release.
Yeah, he could still be alive, that guy. That old guy could be 90 right now, kicking around. My uncle was 95. My uncle lived 5 years before there was any such thing as Mickey Mouse. And so it starts to feel not as old when you think of it that way.
Right.
But still, 90 years is a long time. 80-year-old Hawkman sounds like a great thing to draw. I may have to do that. Just an 80-year-old Hawkman going, hey.
His feathers are all molting.
Hawk girl doesn't want to make out with me anymore. Actually, weren't they brothers or sisters or something? What was
no,
their deal?
They were lovers.
I
and
thought
depending
they were brother
on,
and sister. No,
no okay. Depending on which continuity you're looking at, they were either husband, wife, or they've been reincarnated multiple times. And in, like, if you watch Justice League Unlimited, she doesn't remember that there may be some reincarnation. So it turns into this creepy stalkery thing where Hawkman is kind of stalking her all the time when he says, no, I'm a reincarnation and we're meant to be together. It's really a good story.
Really? All right. I already learned more about him than I thought I knew. Also, the new Sabrina series at Archie. Tell me about this. What's going on? Actual comics, right? We're not talking about the show.
Yeah, this is actual comic books. We'll talk about the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina in a moment. But if you are someone that watched the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina or read the comic book and you're like, oh, man, that's a little bit too intense for me. Archie Comics is releasing a new Sabrina the Teenage Witch series in 2019, written by Kelly Thompson with art by Veronica Fish. This is a 1-2 combo of a win right here. But this is going to be set more along the same lines as the Archie series that Mark Waid is writing for Archie Comics, kind of a modern take on the series without being a little without being too goofy. It's still going to have some drama to be told and some lighter moments, but overall, this will be a kind of a fresh launch for Sabrina.
No, I like this art. I don't know if these are all just. I don't know what this is. Let's see. Hold on. Like this one. There's a cover here that looks like Bewitched. Like, what's the deal with that? Like an alternate.
Those are just some of the variant covers that they have.
I love that. That's so great. What a great throwback image. That's so cool.
I believe the very last one on the page there is the one that is Veronica Fish.
Oh, okay. Oh, she's great.
And I think there's another one there by Adam Hughes, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. I knew a guy named Fish. He was, his last name was Fish.
Is it Abe Vigoda on a
no, TV show? No, no, not that guy.
A man named Fish.
His name was Neil Fish. He's a cool dude. I miss Neil. And Neil, if you're listening, I hope you're doing all right. Speaking of the Sabrina there, you got the Chilling Adventures thing, and that's happening already. But now we're going to get a holiday special. Did anyone ask? Did anyone ask for this? And if they didn't, are they excited anyway?
I don't know if anyone asked for it, but I think Netflix thought it might be a good idea to deliver a holiday special. It's called A Midwinter's Tale that's going to arrive on Netflix on December 14th. It kind of misses any kind of the Wiccan pagan holidays that they could have launched it on, but I guess maybe that would fall too close to Christmas and they were worried about people not seeing it. But if you thought you wanted more out of your Chilling Adventures of Sabrina series, you get one more spot or one more shot at it coming up later next month.
Praise Satan. I mean, praise Santa. Sabrina Netflix has
praise Baphomet.
Yeah, Baphomet. I'm looking at this image. Is it set in a... Is that a... That looks like it's set in a different time.
It might be.
Yeah, that's a period piece with like bow ties and dickies and...
I mean, it's a special, right?
I guess so.
So they can do all sorts of
things. They
can
do whatever
things.
They want to do. That's right.
Yeah.
It's their time. Let them have it. Well, this is all great, dude. I mean, you know, there's stuff going on. Hey, I didn't we never really got your response to the death of Stan Lee. I'm obviously no one's happy about it, but you had any thoughts you wanted to throw out there?
Stan is a complicated person.
Yeah.
On the one hand, we can look at all the wonderful things he did to try to push progressive thinking in America through his comic books, but at the same time, not necessarily a great guy.
Mm. Where do you base that on? What do you base that on there?
The way he treated Veronica.
Ah, you silly person, he said once.
Well, that and you look at the big fight that was ongoing for decades and still kind of goes on every time there's an issue on who created a character, where Stan Lee tries to take sole credit for a lot of the characters. Then it resulted in lawsuits to where now we can say that Steve Ditko is a co-creator of Spider-Man or that Jack Kirby is a co-creator of, you know, the Hulk and Fantastic Four and so many other things. And for a long time, some of those creators were just totally blocked out from the narrative because of Stan. Mm-hmm. So
do you think we're getting to a place now where, like, I feel like after in the wake of his death, just the recent days after his death, it felt like a lot of people were saying things like, boy, if it wasn't for him and the work of Steve Ditko and the work of Jack Kirby, like, I feel like there's some reconciliation going on.
And there has been for like the last 10 years, especially when the movies started coming out and people were like, well, this storyline is based on this writer. How come this writer is not getting any credit, or this look is inspired from this artist? How come the credits are not giving any thanks to these people who have contributed to the movies? And slowly over these last 10 years, we're starting to see more and more creators being named in the movies, and we're also seeing things like Fantastic Four, not just created by Stan Lee, but Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. Mm. And so we're starting to get a lot more of that. But I would recommend a book called Marvel Comics, The Untold Story by Sean Howe, which really kind of gives you, and again, these are people that are retelling stories about their recollections and perspectives, but Sean Howe has done a lot of research into the life of Marvel Comics, and it might give some people a better perspective on what's going on there, why people say Stan is a complicated person. I'm not saying he didn't do great things, but he's not all sunshine and lollipops.
I see this book. I want to read this. I didn't know this was a thing.
It's good, and the audiobook version is really good, too.
Okay.
Did he and Jack Kirby, or did he and Steve Ditko? I know Jack Kirby passed away years ago, and actually Steve Kirby did year before last. Like
Ditko just passed away a couple of months ago.
It was a couple of months ago. I thought it was fairly recent. Did they ever smooth the waters, or did that animosity just go with them to the grave?
I don't know if Steve Ditko and Stan Lee ever smooth waters. Steve Ditko was a notorious recluse, so we really don't know. Although anytime anyone would bring up his time at Marvel, he would quickly end the conversation and leave. Jack Kirby, on the other hand, we don't know. We know that those two would continue to antagonize one another. Stan Lee did show up at Jack's funeral and just kind of was there and left and tried to make it so that no one saw that he was there to pay respect to Jack. But there's no indication that those two ever came to an understanding with each other.
I'm trying to understand this thing. I admire Steve Ditko for tons of reasons, but the the idea that he would be talking to somebody and Marvel would come up and he'd get up and leave.
Yeah, so you'd be talking to Steve Ditko and you're like, oh, Steve, oh man, you did such a great job creating Spider-Man. And what are your thoughts on Spider-Man today? He'd be like, well, thank you for the conversation, but I'm not going to talk about that and leave. That was the end of it.
So he did, why, though?
He wanted like, nothing to do with Marvel because he got screwed over.
Right, but it's the reason you're having the interview, right?
Like, No. Like, if people come up to him on the street and meet him and recognize him.
Okay, I'm thinking more like, you know, structured interview types or something.
No. He never did structured interviews.
Okay. So if you walked up to him on the street and said, hey, Steve, I loved your work.
And he'd probably say thank you.
Oh, he'd say thank you and he'd move on. But if you ever said, hey, great job on co-creating Spider-Man with Stan Lee, he'd whip out a knife and shank you right in the kidney.
I mean, I'm not sure that's accurate, but yes.
All right. They're probably not exactly accurate at this point. That's just fascinating to me. I knew you'd have a take that was perhaps a little different than the usual because you're really close to this stuff. And
I mean, there's a lot, again, there's a lot of really good things. You look at what he did with the Comics Code Authority when he helped make sure that the Comics Code Authority came into existence. But then when he did, what is it, Spider-Man 92 through 95 or 93 through 97, that issue that dealt with the drugs, that the government came to him and said, hey, can you do a comic book that features the negative side of drugs? And Stan Lee was like, yes. They wrote the comic, they submitted it to the Comics Code, and they're like, oh no, you can't show drug use in here. And Stan Lee was like, but this is the government coming to us and saying, this is okay, this is what they want. Comics Code Authority said, no way. And so Stan Lee in 1970, whatever, was basically like, F you, Comics Code Authority, and he released the issues without the seal of approval. And it turns out that people didn't care whether the seal of approval was on the comic or not, which eventually led to the downfall of Comics Code Authority some 40 years later.
Yeah, I could see that. That's another little side thing people don't talk about much. Do you think, so I was just showing the chat room the picture of him on the couch where he's naked holding the
He's wearing underwear underneath.
Is he got underwear on there? All right. Good. You don't know how good that makes
small,
me feel.
They're pretty small, though.
It's a really tight little
pair. Well, it
was
the 70s when that picture was taken.
That's
so
true. It wasn't kind of, it was like
a hammock Stan Lee.
Wasn't it like a riff on the
Burt Reynolds
thing? Mm-hmm. Must have been, right? Yeah.
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah. I watched a documentary last night that included Burt Reynolds, and it was odd. That dude had an odd period in his life, man. Let's talk about that some other time. Anyway, this is all good. Hey, if you want to check out the latest and the greatest, even on slow weeks like this week, there's still plenty to read, watch, listen to over at Major Spoilers. Steven, anything people should be watching for right now?
Well, you know, it is the holiday shopping season, and all this week we will be releasing our own Major Spoilers gift guide. Some ideas that you might want to consider if you've got a someone that you're giving gifts to, or maybe if you're just looking for yourself. Today we kicked off with the video game gift guide. Tomorrow is a comic book guide. Then on Wednesday we'll have toys, and then we have a couple of other comic book guides for him, her, and kids throughout this week.
Nice. Well, as always, a pleasure to have you on. It is Steven Schleicher, Major Spoilers on Twitter, and of course majorspoilers.com. Have a fantastic week and a good
bye,
holiday
guys.
Bye. Have a happy Thanksgiving and stay hydrated.
Yeah.
All right, stay
hydrated.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go.
Wash that turkey down with a big old glass of water.
Sounds all right. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm getting hungry again. I'm gonna have to go get something good today. I don't want to eat nothing.
I had a very low point breakfast, so I'm doing lunch at this place called KT's Barbecue, and I'm getting the white meat chicken breast, but their barbecue sauce is just so damn good.
Spend some of those points, yo. Yeah,
exactly.
Get that out of your system.
Listen, it's a diet, not a prison sentence.
No,
all right?
No, you got to enjoy life a little.
Exactly.
This is how I get off my diet. I talk like this. anyway, hey, that's going to do it for the show. Before we go, though, we have a mashup from Jamie, a new collection that he put together here recently of recent episodes. And boy, if I could just be in the right place at the right time. There it is. This is called Jill Bush.
I know exactly where that part comes from.
I do too, sort of. Yeah. But let's learn together what this is. Here you go.
Smart. dojo. Bow. No mercy.
Yeah. Pelican Clock Christmas Miracle.
Miracle.
I present you the FBI. We do have a few flaws that are unfinished, but welcome. I'll find your wife and...
Met with Zahar Al-Saloom.
Oleg Belosnikov. Belogovskogov.
Belogzov.
Yeah, Belogzov is the one that's got the heart wound.
Girl has sex with Gray in his dungeon. There's ending to 50 Shades. Tyler Durden turned out to be same guy.
He was same guy whole time.
Same guy whole time.
Somebody invited me to their group. One of the people were naked. I was like, I'm just going to go do my own thing.
I write funny books for a living, you silly person.
Oh, I'm going to get a Big Mac at the local McDonald's eatery.
Pass the butter.
Pass the butter. Clearly you've had enough butter. If you're able to enunciate butter with your butthole, you've had enough butter. Penis pals.
Mm-mm. Menstruation.
Ah!
Aww.
I don't give a shit.
Dick poop.
Frontal nudity.
Uppy bum.
Pube.
Think of something.
Poo fest.
Goo ball.
You see.
Piece of shit.
Mm.
Dog spurt.
My.
What? What?
I don't know.
Shut up.
Love dungeon.
I'm gonna lick it.
Oh!
Deagle deagle.
Vagina.
The loin.
Dump.
Jill
Bush.
Jill Bush.
Yeah, Jill Bush. Jill Bush.
Jill Bush.
Fantastic.
Oh, that's the greatest thing ever.
That's pretty good. Thank you for whoever that was last week that requested we play a.
Yeah, that do the Tourette's.
Yeah, it was an email or something.
Or Tourette's.
I forgot. It was pretty good, though. All right, we got more of that coming this week, so stay tuned for more from Jamie, TMS Mashups on Twitter, if you are inclined to follow him and make suggestions there. All right, that's going to do it for the show. Thank you all for being here once again. If you would like to support the show, please do. Frogpants.com has a link to everything, but if you want to go straight there, patreon.com/TMS. That's patreon.com/TMS. Even a dollar a month would make a difference. So if you're out there and you're feeling saucy about your favorite morning show, by gum, now's the time to belly up and show it in a way that keeps the lights on. That's patreon.com/TMS. For everything else, frogpants.com/TMS. Brian, you got a cover today to play? Or
I do have a cover. Before we get to that, two things to tell you about. A brand new episode of Soundography just went up on the feeds. This is the last of our series, our current series of You Gotta Listen to This. This one features Hammond Chamberlain, who had the opportunity to make me listen to an entire album, whatever he wanted. Did he pick a Dream Theater album? Oh, who knows? You'll have to just see. It's on Soundography right now. And tomorrow, Tuesday, is the last day to get involved with the Tadpool Tad Santa gift exchange. So make sure you go to bit.ly/TadSanta and do the whole, I would actually capitalize the T in Tad Santa because I know that one works. So Tad Santa 2018, TadSanta2018 is the one to use on Bit.ly.
Nice. Rhymes with
reminder tomorrow.
Yeah, it rhymes with sad Santa. Okay, think
sad
of it that way.
Sad Santa. Yeah. Aww. Wow. Jeez. Bring me down, Scott. Hey, Nick wrote in and said, Captain Monk, when he's in the Tadpool, dear Bite and SSL. Saturday is my birthday, and what a year it has been from being able to meet you both and a good group of Tadpoolers at the very first TMS Vegas to getting deathly ill at the end of said event, that's Vegas, to landing my dream job at a company I've been blessed to work at for the last 8 years. Brian, would you be so kind to play Stone Sour's cover of Slayer's Seasons in the Abyss? Stone Sour is one of my favorite bands, and there's a pretty accessible cover, one of my favorite Slayer songs. Failing that, please feel free to pick the heaviest metal cover of a pop song from any era you deem to be awesome. I know this very last minute, so feel free to play this whenever you can fit my request in. Is it too late for a tender crisp bacon squirini?
Oh my gosh, that's too many. Give him this one.
Just do a squirini, because we haven't heard that one.
What's the closest one? This is the closest I've got.
Okay.
Wait.
They don't shrink like bacon?
No. Here it is.
The tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch.
Bacon was more accessible than squirini.
Bacon was easier to reach for than the squirini. Yeah. I gotcha. Yeah. All right. This one came out on the 2015 Stone Sour album Straight Out of Burbank. It is a cover, as he mentioned, of the Slayer song. Here is Seasons in the Abyss.
Pubes.
Sorry. I was supposed to play. I don't know what happened there. All right, sorry. Here it is, Seasons in the Abyss. We'll be back tomorrow, and full slate of programming this week, you guys. Come hell or high water, I don't care how sick I am.
Well, not a full slate. We're not going to be here on Thanksgiving or the day after.
Well, that's true.
Yes, we will sort of be here the day after.
We'll be here the day after, but in different ways. But yes. as much as I possibly can. All right, we'll see you guys soon. Bye. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Can you smell it?